This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
You shake my nerves and you rattle my brain. Too much of love drives a man insane. You broke my will, but what a thrill. Goodness gracious, great balls of fire. I let you love what I thought it was funny. You came along and moved me, honey. I've changed my mind, this love is fine. It's just great balls of fire. Kisses, baby. Mmm, feels good. Hold me, baby. Well, I want to love you like I love a shoe. You're fine, so kind.
Oh yeah, a little bit of Jerry Lee Lewis. We got to get something going here to get everybody excited and happy and energetic, right? Good morning, welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am indeed Paul Molloy. I am your coronavirus advisor at this point, right? No. But along with my buddy and partner Big Ed Davis, thank you for joining us this Monday morning, March 16th. Wow, everything is kind of going a little bit screwy and crazy, is it not? We're going to be joined in a few minutes by Neville Kramer. He is a security consultant and a former immigration agent. We're going to talk about security concerns in the face of this coronavirus outbreak. So stay tuned for that. And life in the U.S. has just made a sharp turn to the bizarre, has it not, with this virus? We're going to talk about the way the country is adapting and the latest on the way the stock market is dealing with it. Not too well right now. And by the way, did you watch the Biden-Sanders debate last night? We're going to talk about who won and if it will really make any difference. So stay tuned for that. And in our ultimate top 10, the top 10 worst epidemics of all time. Of all time. We thought it'd be appropriate. Going to make the coronavirus thing look rather paltry in comparison. Anyway, we got a lot going on. I can't wait to talk with Neville Kramer. We've had him on many times. He's an author. He goes around the world and he helps businesses with security concerns. He was a former immigration and naturalization service agent. And so he's got a lot of experience when it comes to how do you deal with all the security issues, you know, when you have an outbreak like this. I mean, it's kind of a bizarre, a new thing to all of us. We're just kind of getting used to it, are we not? Right now, the stock market is down, I hate to say this, over 2,300 points. That's kind of a scary scenario, even though the Fed went ahead and dropped interest rates to practically zero. Practically zero. So far, drop of the rate isn't doing too well. But anyway, yesterday the Fed slashed interest rates by a full percentage point to near zero. It's going to buy $700 billion in Treasury securities. Now, they're hoping that this eventually will make some difference. Right now, it's not making much difference. But here is the Open Market Committee in their official statement. The coronavirus outbreak has harmed communities, disrupted economic activity in many countries, including the U.S. The Fed is prepared to use its full range of tools to support the flow of credit to households and businesses. So they're going to try to do the best that they can. If you're listening on, I listen to C-SPAN every morning, and you would think with the way some of these people call in and complain about President Trump that he probably brought it over himself. But then you'll get every once in a while a common sense caller that'll say, you know what, he's doing the best he can. I mean, that's basically what it's true. I think Donald Trump is doing the best he can. He's hired good people around him to deal with it. They come on every day. They're working with the states. I don't know what else anybody expects them to accomplish, you know? You got to remember that China kept the whole thing a secret for a long time. We're going to get into it a little bit with Neville Kramer about all of that, by the way. What was China up to? And so by the time we knew about it, this thing was moving around. So I think, you know, I think you got to give Trump some credit. He's not perfect. Nobody is. People are going to make mistakes. We have not had any experience with anything quite like this, right? You know. So I wouldn't, you know, it just seems to me, I don't know, Ed, it seems like everybody is panicking. I know we're all talking about it. There isn't much more to talk about. I mean, it used to be the weather. This has completely taken over everybody's conversation. I don't know what else anybody would talk about in public.
Well, I said it earlier. If this wasn't an election year, this virus wouldn't get half the coverage it's getting right now. And people are freaking out because, you know, in that debate last night, I watched as much as I could without having to change the channel and watch the Muppets or something and go back and forth.
You know those two old guys on the Muppets?
Yeah.
Does that not remind you of those two old guys on the Muppets?
You got Bernie Sanders up there saying, now this virus could potentially kill millions and millions of Americans. You don't need some idiot saying that.
That's such a dumb statement. For crying out loud. Yeah, he should have been challenged right away on that one.
And they just challenged each other's statistics from years ago. You know, oh, you did this 12 years ago, and you did this 5 years ago.
Two grumpy old men standing up there.
Shut up.
Two grumpy old men standing up there in an empty theater. It was kind of, that was another surreal thing. Everything's surreal all of a sudden. But you're right. The debate was, I don't know. Did you get an impression before you left it in a huff as to whether Biden or Sanders?
I think it was a draw, to tell you the truth.
Okay.
You know, Biden kept fumbling his words, and I love what he called himself saying illegal aliens, illegal documented workers.
If you're a Democrat, the word aliens is no longer in your lexicon.
You're not allowed to call them that. They're undocumented workers.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Well, here is a take from David Marcus of The Federalist that I found interesting on the debate. He said, early on, it was clear that Sanders would be hurt more by the lack of an audience. In other words,
right.
Sanders feeds off of, you know, people.
Yes.
Some of these people start applauding one of his wild schemes, mm-hmm. right? He is much more the showman, and his speaking style begs applause more than Biden's. Several early lines landed with a thud after his Brooklyn accent grew louder because the cheers we are so accustomed to were absent. Says Bernie is a rabble rouser, and to be a rabble rouser, you really kind of need the rabble. He didn't have the rabble with him, right?
And one of the things last night, there was a question asked Bernie Sanders, what would you do if you were president, you know, concerning the coronavirus? And he said, well, one of the things we need to quit doing is our president needs to stop praising China. And about 2 minutes went by, and he said, what I would do is I would work with China to get this disease or this virus under control. Now, you just said not to praise them, but now you're saying now you'd work with them.
Yeah.
And he also wants to make sure that all countries on the globe have a democratic society. Good luck.
It's funny that Bernie, who is desperate to get, I don't know what he's doing anymore. Why doesn't he go for the jugular with Biden and bring up Hunter Biden and bring up all of the corruption that the Biden family has been involved with, including in China, by the way, where Biden claims, you know, we shouldn't be he's been making money along with Hunter because of China, you know, and in the Ukraine. Why doesn't Bernie bring all of that up? Why?
I think mm-hmm. he's been told not to.
Yeah, he's been told not to by somebody. But then he's not going to win if he doesn't bring it up.
Interesting fact came out of that last night, too. They asked each candidate if they would pick a woman as a running mate. And Biden said yes, and then Bernie said yes. So you know what? It's true.
Yeah.
I mean, Hillary is picking out a pantsuit.
Oh, you think it's going to be her?
She's picking out a pantsuit and shaving her tankles right now.
You do think it's going to be her?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, well, absolutely.
Well, that's very interesting. We're going to talk further on that. We're going to take our break, however, and we want to bring in our buddy Neville Kramer. Great man to talk with right now about security in the face of the coronavirus. Oh.
is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
If you would like to become a wholesale buyer of the premium quality longevity product that you hear about right here on the Tantalk Radio Network for personal service, you can pick up the phone right now and call Lola at 727-441-3311. Again, that's Lola at 727-441-3311. Or for even faster service, log on to TantalkHealth.com. That's TantalkHealth.com. Here's your health and longevity.
Viking Encampment, Pit of Misery, Escape Room, all at the Bay Area Renaissance Festival. Weekend, February 15th through March 29th. Discount tickets are available at Circle K and online at BayAreaRenFest.com. Experience a high seas adventure. Show off your best ink in the tattoo competition. Win the pirate costume contest or visit the Viking Encampment. Last 2 weekends. Bay Area Renaissance Festival. Discount tickets available at Circle K and at BayAreaRenFest.com. Joust, do it.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on The Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets, from animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune into the show on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back on a Monday morning. Like everybody else, the coronavirus is on our mind, but we're delighted to have Neville Kramer join us, a good friend of ours. And he's a security consultant. He's a former INS agent, you know, the immigration people. He's an author of a great book called Immigration Chaos. And he's got some thoughts about this coronavirus, and we're going to talk with Neville a little bit about security in the face of it. Neville, welcome back.
Paul, good morning. Great to be back on the show. Good morning, Ed, and good morning, Muppet.
Yeah, the Muppets. I don't know why, but I'm thinking, you know those two guys on the Muppets that sit up there on the balcony? It's kind of a, I don't know, when I was watching them last night. Did you watch any of that at all,
yeah,
Neville?
Yeah, part of it until I fell asleep.
I was going to ask you.
No, I mean it. I have nothing to say about it. I mean,
it's
I
a great cure for insomnia.
One of those two will be. Well, I can't believe either one of those two is going to be president of the United States. I find that hard to believe.
Uh huh. All right, so let's talk.
Anyway,
let's talk a little bit about this coronavirus. First of all, you've been all over the world. You deal with businesses. You help them with security. How is that affecting what you do right now? What are you doing differently?
Well, one thing that you know, very few people in the United States, unless they travel to that part of the world quite frequently, one of the things that we don't understand is the culture of the Asians, and specifically the Chinese. I know that sounds like a broad brush that I'm painting these people with, but they have cultural things that we don't understand. This fact of losing faith, which is the reason that they didn't tell us that this virus was active until, you know, when it started in November. It took them 2 or 3 months to do it. And at the same time, they're sending basically hundreds of thousands of Chinese all over the world from that part of China who were infected, on airlines, because now they're doing a massive amount of travel throughout the world. And it's cultural. They don't want to lose face, and it's a big part of their culture, and yet they don't mind infecting the rest of the world.
Are you saying
there's a lot of things that I've been...
I'm sorry, I didn't mean...
Go ahead, Paul.
I was just going to ask you, are you saying that there is an intentional sending of infected Chinese around the world? Is that what you're saying?
I don't think that it's intentional to send them out. I think it's just...
allowing it.
The government and the people just let it happen, because if they had if there's people within the government who had said something at the time, they would have either executed them or put them in prison.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Because it would have meant they lose face. In fact, one of the doctors that was involved in trying to cure this in China died of the virus.
Yes.
So, I mean, he yes, I don't know
indeed.
Why he died, but, yeah.
One of
but
the
anyway,
original, yeah.
It's cultural, you know, and we have to understand that this isn't the last time that this is going to happen. These are the same people that are killing rhinoceroses and grinding up the horns and because they think it's an aphrodisiac
yeah.
if they eat it. So, and these are people that are quite, you know, wealthy and quite educated, and yet they still believe in these kinds of things. So, I don't think this is the last we're going to have. But one thing I am very impressed with, and I'll tell you because I worked in this area for many years, as you know, is that President Trump is the first one who is actively using his right as the president to restrict travel in and out of the United States. A lot of people started out by calling him racist. We know that. But this is something that our presidents in the past have not used. And when countries have not cooperated with us, we beg them. We begged our presidents and our administrations, Republican and Democrat, to use this against countries that wouldn't cooperate. And they wouldn't do it. The only one that even came close was Bush after 9/11. But he didn't use it certainly the way that Trump is using it. And it's a very, very powerful tool.
Yeah, indeed it is. We're talking with Neville Kramer. He is a real expert when it comes to security. He works with businesses around the world in their security concerns, and he was a former INS agent, so he knows a lot about what's going on. Yeah, you know, he did, and I don't hear too many people, even Democrats, complaining about our shutting down our borders all of a sudden. You know, I always worried. One of the first things I thought about was when this coronavirus thing occurred is, and then we got all this open border talk going on, you know, on our southern border. What a time, you know. To be allowing something like that, you know, to occur. So he's trying to make.
Well, if
yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, if there's anything that's going to give the immigration issue a shot in the arm, getting solved or getting some kind of decent legislation passed, it's going to be this. I just hope it's not done piecemeal. You know, where they pass a piece of legislation to solve this problem or that problem. This entire system. Immigration system has to be redone.
Right.
The 52 Immigration Act is useless, and it's not being followed anyway. The laws on the books of the legislation that's been passed since then isn't being carried out. So I mean, really, just know, by the way, I'm not advocating comprehensive immigration reform. You hear that all the time, but that's not what we need. What we need is. Not to turn around and give, you know, 20 million people the legal right to be citizens in this country because they snuck in here, and then forget everything else, including security and the border control. That's what comprehensive immigration reform means when you hear it on television.
Yeah, so, you know, in the debate last night, I can't remember which of the two said it, but they were talking about...
Oh, Bernie, they both say it.
You know, about...
It's a Democratic talking point.
Basically about, you know, turning all of these illegal aliens into citizens. I mean, they're, you know, they were still talking that thing. I think if I were them, I'd leave that alone right now. I don't think people care to hear that, you know, with all of the concerns that they have right now with, you know, who's coming across and, you know, what diseases, et cetera. I mean, right now we're all on a sort of high alert. Now, I want to ask you, though, Neville, in your opinion, do you think President Trump is handling this overall in the right way with the group that he has? And also, do you kind of agree with the route it seems to be that the country is all of a sudden taking with the shutting down of schools and many businesses, and you know, don't have more than 250 people together at one place? You know what I mean?
The first thing that impresses me is that when he gives a press conference, is look at the people behind him. I don't see very many political appointees that graduated law school last year and got a job as the executive assistant associate to some guy that donated a lot of money.
Yeah, good
the people
point.
Behind him,
medical.
The people behind him are professionals, and that's who he should be turning to, and he has. The suggestion last night by Bernie Sanders is that he doesn't have professionals behind him. That's nonsense. I mean, you listen to those people talking behind him, and they start dealing in stuff that's how to truly, get vaccines for this coronavirus and get it out to the people and tests and so forth. I think he's doing an excellent job, but this is we've never had this before. So it's all, you know, it's all testing the waters to see, you know, what we should do in the future. And we're sort of guinea pigs with this thing at this time. But I give him credit for trying some things that we've never tried before in this country. Who ever heard of shutting down, you know, stores and stopping school systems for a month? But it's happening. And I would like to add to you, Paul, when was the last time in the last 48 hours that anybody gave a count of the number of people that are infected in the United States and the number of people that have died? I haven't seen that count advertised on television in the last 48 to 72 hours. So what is it? Is this working?
Yeah.
Even in this short period of time?
I saw an update. I think it was on C-SPAN this morning. They had a little screen where they had the number of people. And so don't quote me on the exact number that they are at right now. But in comparison to the rest of the world, we're doing pretty well based on the size of our population. By the way, let me ask you this, and I still don't understand. Why did Italy take such a hit with this virus, do you think?
Italy has a massive Chinese population. In fact,
really?
If you look at if you look at most of the Italian goods that are sent out all over the world, you see the Italian government passed a law that says you cannot put made in Italy unless it's actually made in Italy. So you can't ship stuff to China and have them make it. So what the Chinese did was they went into Italy and they bought all kinds of factories, and they shipped a whole bunch of Chinese workers to Italy to produce stuff. And a lot of the stuff that's produced in Italy that says it's Italian is produced by Chinese companies, by Chinese workers in Italy.
Really?
They have a large Chinese working population there.
So is the fact that they have a large Chinese population the reason that they've had so much trouble with this virus?
Well, sure, because coming out of the Wuhan area, they've got the flights that are going all over Europe, and a lot of them are going into the northern Italy and Rome and southern Italy, and those people, you know, were probably infected, and the Italians didn't know, you know, where it was coming from.
Wow.
But it, you know, it doesn't take it. There's 600 passengers on an Airbus A380. So if one of them lands in Rome coming from, Beijing, you've got 600 infected people on that plane, or 300. That's a lot of infection walking around your country.
Yes,
and
it really is.
I think that's probably what happened.
Now, there is, and I've heard this from several people, there is the thought that perhaps China intentionally, or if not intentionally, was working with a virus in the lab, and it might have accidentally escaped. And I've heard that too. Go ahead.
Yeah, I heard that, but I listened very carefully to what the doctors said that are studying this, and they said that they were under that impression as well. But subsequent to that, they've done studies on the virus itself, and they said that it's animal related. It's
mm-hmm.
not laboratory made.
No, it's not.
That's been debunked.
But could it have been that they were working with animals in a lab and testing a virus when this occurred? Do you think there's any chance of that? In other words,
I don't think there's any question in that. In that lab, they're working on viruses for biological warfare.
Do you think there was
that's
a possibility?
Apparently, what that?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, okay.
But, I mean, they're actively doing it anyway. I mean, that's not something that they just started. I mean, biological warfare is a big thing that all of our enemies are looking at.
So lastly, Neville, if you were going to... I do want to ask you one thing, because I know you've got a little bit of a speaking engagements that you do. You go
You
go around.
Well, a couple of them got canceled now. So I did. Thank you very much. Yeah, I've got a new speech called Immigration Chaos 2020. And I have my website that is in the process of being revamped. It'll be open in about 2 weeks. And I am doing a presentation that talks about not only what's brought us to this stage with our immigration quagmire, but also the ways that we really should solve the problem.
Yeah.
And got some quite a bit of interest, but a couple of my engagements got canceled because of this coronavirus. So,
yeah, I was going to say, well, you know, once you get that up and running, my goodness, that would be helpful to people, you know, talking about all of that. But I guess even making speeches to small groups right now is something that people are very, very squeamish about, huh?
Yeah. And I do small groups. In fact, I enjoy small groups better. It's people have a tendency to it's a kind of thing where I even pass out things that most people. If you walk around, most people have heard what a green card is, but how many of them who are not immigrants have ever seen one or held one in their hand? And I bring a stack of them with me and pass them around.
Wow.
People have a tendency to say, my gosh, I finally got to see a green card. And, of course, the big thing that they realize is that it's for 30 years it was blue.
Oh.
So there's the reason that our immigration system is screwed up. You know, green is blue and blue is green.
They don't even have the right color. Oh, for goodness sake.
That's right.
So finally, I know it's changed everybody's, you know, daily routine, but do you recommend to the common person, go ahead, go to the store, go to the restaurant, maybe avoid shaking hands, but would you continue to advocate that people go about as much as possible their daily routine?
No, I would not.
Okay.
I think we're in a situation with all these stores closing and with the airlines being hurt and the president. I think that we should, you know, take a breather and for about a week or two, if at all possible, stay as close to home, stay away from other people, just relax, be with your family, wash your hands consistently, do what the doctors are telling you to do, and let's see, maybe we could knock this thing out in 2 to 3 or 4 weeks. And then look at what we've done as a nation. And I think I really think people ought to just stay home.
Be very careful then. Yeah, avoid groups. Okay. Yeah. Neville, always a pleasure to talk with you, my friend. And we're going to talk again, I hope, soon. And hopefully the next time we talk about this thing, it'll be history. History.
Yeah, wouldn't that be good? We got all these lessons that we learned about, you know, coronavirus.
Exactly.
We've been talking about it for years. Uh-oh. We lived through it. I think we should get T-shirts that say, Ed to call them up and have them produce some T-shirts.
I guarantee you there will be T-shirts on this thing. Okay, my friend. Thank you so much.
You bet, Paul. Have a great day.
All right, you too.
Thank you.
Neville Kramer. All right, we're going to take our break. And when we come back, going to talk a lot about all of this that's going on and talk a little bit more about the Biden-Sanders debate and the top 10 worst epidemics of all time.
Tear me away from my guy. Nothing you could do, cause I'm stuck like glue to my guy.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
Don't miss the Craft Beer Hour every Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. We'll bring you up to speed on craft beer events and festivals, local breweries, and interview the brains behind the brews. So grab a pint and listen to the Craft Beer Hour every Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network and visit the website, thecraftbeerhour.com.
Let's Go Bowling, heard on the Tantalk Radio Network every Wednesday, 11 a.m. to 12 Eastern Time. Sponsored by 12 Strike and Innovative Ball Spinner. If you bowl, if you haven't bowled in a while, or if you never bowled, why not you be one of 65 million people have bowled last year? Listen to the Tip of the Week, Bowling Stars, Old and New. Let's Go Bowling Show, GoBowlingShow.com.
Hey, this is Tammy with the Brian Cash Claws Radio Show. Tune in every Thursday from 3 to 4 p.m. to learn how we can make you money. You don't want to miss this show. It's the never-ending stories from Mr. Claus himself.
Become part of the show on Thursdays, 3 to 4 p.m., Brian Cash Claws, by dialing in 727-441-3000 or toll-free 1-866-826-1340.
Ho, ho, ho.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back on Freedom Works. By the way, we're here Monday, Tuesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Great Tantalk Radio Network. And you can go and listen to our show anytime you want on our website. Big Ed sets up all our shows on podcast. OurFreedomWorks.com. O-U-R. OurFreedomWorks.com. You know, Ed, right now, we would be enjoying the college basketball tournament. It would be going on now. And here we are. There are no sports. There's no baseball. You know, no exhibition. We'd be looking towards the Stanley Cup playoffs, which would be showing up. We got professional basketball. That's down. Football, you know, we'd be talking about whether or not they're going to keep the quarterback here. I mean,
there was football yesterday.
Oh, there was?
Yes, on my TV.
Oh, okay. What year of game were you? About the 40-year-old game? Is that what we're reduced to that?
We visited the 2002 NFC Championship game between the Bucks and the Eagles.
Did you watch it?
I sure did. A lot more than that than I did that debate, I'll tell you that.
But you knew the ending. How can you be excited?
So what? You never get enough of the Bucks beating Philadelphia.
I see. Hey, speaking about the Bucks.
By the way, they're waving goodbye to Jameis.
That's what I was going to ask
you. Yes. They franchise tagged their linebacker, which means they now can't offer him that. They would have to actually offer him a long-term deal, which they do not want to do. So he's all in.
Jameis Winston, by the way, for those of you that don't follow the Bucks, and a lot of you don't, is the current quarterback, starting quarterback of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, soon to be the past quarterback.
If you look right now, he's not on the roster. He doesn't have a contract.
Maybe the Bears will pick him up. See, I like the Bears. Well, why and we need a quarterback, because I think that guy's probably going to be going, too. But anyway, all right. Things are really different. Now, we're going to talk about New York, and we're going to bring our eye in the northern sky, Angelo Ceresi. Who, by the way, gosh, you've been a busy guy, Angelo, with all the things going on. I want to tell you that New York City Mayor de Blasio is arguing that the best way to tackle the coronavirus outbreak is for the federal government to take over critical private companies like medical places. What do you think?
Well, I think the private companies are working with the federal government.
Yeah, but he wants to take them over.
I know. No, he's crazy on that. You know, you can't do that. What was the federal government going to do by taking them over? Were they going to do anything different that isn't going on right now?
Yeah.
Bernie said that last night, too.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't watch the debate, you know.
Well, Bernie's looking for a reason to take over everything.
But he's saying the military needs to get in there and help these hospitals out. Where is there a line at any hospital?
There isn't. Right. Not like in Italy. Right. I mean, it hasn't gotten that far yet.
No. Here's what de Blasio says. Here's why he makes the case for doing it. This is a case for a nationalization, literally a nationalization of crucial factories and industries that could produce the medical supplies to prepare this country for what we need. It's like World War II started again.
Did the government take over factories and everything else in World War II?
I think in some cases, did they not basically take them over? Because remember, they were changing, as an example, auto car companies to munition factories. And
right, they were taking over, retooling to manufacture war material.
Right, instead of making cars, they were making tanks and, you know, missiles.
Right, airplanes and ammunition and guns and all that stuff.
Yeah. So it sounds like de Blasio feels we've arrived at that point where the government has to. Of course, now here's another, you know, between he and Bernie Sanders, you know, they're basically socialists, are they not?
Oh, yes.
Yep. I mean, so.
Did Biden call for takeover last night? Like I said, I didn't watch it.
I'm trying to remember if he called for a complete takeover. Not to the extent. No, I don't think he did. Not to the extent that Bernie Sanders wants to do it. Bernie Sanders is just looking for an excuse. Because once he takes something over in the private sector, I doubt that he'd want to hand it back, right?
What's that?
Once Bernie Sanders gets his tentacles on some private sector industry, I doubt that he would ever want to hand it back to the free market.
Oh, no, he won't do that. He's a true communist, true and true. No way.
So did you watch, Angela, did you watch any of the debate last night?
Nah, I turned it on. I must have kept it on for about 1 minute, and I says, nah, I can't watch these two idiots.
Okay. So
I do have breaking news over here.
Okay, go for it.
Governors say bars, restaurants, casinos will close in New Jersey, New York, and Connecticut on Monday night. Details to follow.
Bars, restaurants, all restaurants and casinos?
That's what they're saying. Governors say bars, restaurants, and casinos will close in New Jersey, New York, and Connecticut.
New Jersey, New
Monday
York.
Monday night, details to follow.
Wow. So that must mean those three governors got together and talked this over if all three of them are going to do it simultaneously. Wow.
Yep.
What do you think about all of that, Angela? I mean, right now, would you go to a restaurant, sit down with your wife, have a
meal?
You would not.
Number one being, I'm kind of compromised. I got that heart condition. Mm-hmm. You know, I got that, what they call, I have that ventricular tachycardia, where the heart stops, stuff like that. It's called VT. And then I've got diabetes, too, with the heart thing from Vietnam. That we're getting. So I would...
You are compromised, so you have to be extra special careful.
Yes. And I guess, you know... Just to err to the side of caution, I would do that.
Yeah,
I've been doing that. My kids went grocery shopping, you know, for my wife and I, and did all that. My son, you know, he works for the county.
Oh, he does.
And he goes, Dad, you gotta stay home, you know.
Yeah.
Because he knows that our county medical director, he was talking, so I thought your dad to stay home.
Yeah. Have you noticed, Angelo, whether or not the traffic less congested right now around where you are?
Yes, it is. My wife and I took the car yesterday. We went to my daughter's house. My son, he's Irish, you know, so they had a little Irish dinner. Mm-hmm. And you can see the traffic is really not as what it was.
Yeah?
But it would be.
Interesting. Ed, I want to ask Ed something because we had talked before the show started about whether or not restaurants in our area here in Tampa Bay, because, you know, restaurants around here with all the tourists and everything, such a big deal. So, Ed, right now, the restaurants in Florida are open, correct?
There's mm-hmm. Yes.
Do you have a sense that the governor is going to want to close them?
Well, actually, DeSantis did come out and say the restaurants are going to stay open for now. Here's the thing. Is there one case where they said, I went to a restaurant and I caught the virus in the restaurant? The people who are catching this thing are people that are coming back from overseas and bringing it over here. I mean, this whole New York, Connecticut, or whatever, all shutting down restaurants, this is all part of their plan. They're trying to wreck the economy as best they can.
Oh, you think it might be?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Who's that, the Democrats?
De Blasio, whatever his name is.
De Blasio, yeah. The Democrats. Connecticut is Democrat, right?
He's just a turd. The
New York is Democrat, right, Governor?
Yeah.
Connecticut is Democrat,
right?
New Jersey is Democrat.
Yes.
Even Bill Maher, with his big mouth, he actually came out and said...
He wanted a recession.
He said, I hope this coronavirus ruins our economy and we can get Trump out of there, bring on the recession.
Oh, yeah, this is what he said that. Yeah, what a jerk.
Anybody that would say that, that's a selfish statement to begin with, because how many lives are going to be affected when you, when, you know, if that happens? That's really selfish.
Yeah, that's a traitor to this country. When he talks like that, that's treason. That, you know, to destroy our country, our economy, and everything like that.
You know,
I wouldn't doubt if he's a communist himself, you know?
There really is truth to the fact that together, people, because we want to keep people calm, all of these people should stop with this going back and forth and just get together. I mean, really get together.
Yeah, I mean, listen.
I mean, it really makes a difference to keep everybody calm.
Wash your hands. If you're of the age where you might be susceptible to catch this thing, or like Angela, who has a pre-existing condition, stay away. You know, stay away for a while. You know,
I wouldn't want to pass it on to anybody else.
Listen,
you know?
if you've got a heart condition, don't get on a roller coaster. It's that simple. You know, but you telling me that you can't go to the grocery store now? I mean, if you're going to shut the bars down, why not shut the grocery stores down too? There's as many people in the grocery stores as there are in bars.
Well, you know how this started up here in Rochester is they started out with one person. You know, here's a little story. Now, I went last Tuesday. I had to go to the VA, right, to the Veterans Administration. You know, and it was just a regular routine checkup, but my leg was killing me. Both of my calves were killing me. So I mentioned it to the doctor, you know, and he says, you've had the history of, you know, surface blood clots before, you know. So he says, let's go get him checked out. He says, but we don't have a person here that does the Doppler to check, like, the x-ray, you know, to check the veins out and all that, and the arteries. So he says, I'm going to send you to Unity Hospital, which is here in Rochester, in one of our suburbs. He says, so this way you can go to the emergency department and set you up an appointment, and they'll catch you right away. I said, okay. So I went to the hospital. I got there at 12:30. 1:30 was my appointment, so they took me in at 1:30, but I'm in the emergency room with all these sick people beside.
Yeah.
So this is Tuesday. Wednesday, a teacher, I think, or a worker from one of our Greece Central School Districts, walked into the emergency room with the coronavirus. Had the corona. This is the day after I was there. I was sitting in the emergency room, right?
Yeah. Wow.
I missed it just by one day.
Wow.
Well, anyway, that was the second. There was the second person that had tested positive for the coronavirus.
Yeah.
Now, yesterday, I guess they found 8 more people that, you know, the trickle down effect from where this lady had been or something. She probably didn't even know she had it, you know. And this is what's happening because this thing
occurred
so far. So now we got 10 people here in Rochester that have this coronavirus thing. And now you see this breaking news thing that comes out, you know?
Yeah. But, you know, here's the thing. We tend to forget, A, the coronavirus is not as, as fatal as the regular flu.
Right.
The regular flu has actually, it's got a higher rate of mortality if you catch the flu. If you are an older person, or in your case, like you said, if you have a but even if you caught the flu because you have a compromised system already, Angelo.
Right. I could be susceptible to that, too.
Exactly. So the coronavirus is actually less fatal overall to people, and we tend to forget that. If you're in fairly good shape and you're not over, let's say, you're not in your 70s, even if you're in your 70s and older and in good shape, you're probably okay.
Yeah, well, I'm 70. That.
Huh? Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, but in your case, you're compromised situation, so you do have to be careful, you know. Anyway, Angelo, thank you so very much for an update. We'll hopefully next time we talk, Monday, next week, things are going to be, it'll be on a downward slope as far as this.
I hope so, because they closed the schools over until further notice, everything.
Yeah.
Our schools are closed here, I think, for, well, spring break, too. So I think
they're closing them early, though.
Yeah. So I think they're going to get 2 weeks off. Everything is 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I think they want to see where this is going in 2 weeks. And, you know, it would devastate the Democrats if this thing goes away.
This has to devastate them if it does go away.
I mean, they're gonna try to, bleed this as much as they can till November.
I can't believe the American people can see right through them.
No.
You know? I mean, we can see it. The American people have to be able to see this stuff, what they're doing.
I'm thinking, I really am, that this thing, that in a couple of weeks, it's going to be, like, so much better. I'm very optimistic about it.
Yeah,
I just don't have that concern that some people seem to have.
I believe so, too. And one more thing about Bernie last night. He said that two things, that if you're here illegally, don't worry. Go to the hospital. We're not going to deport you. Okay? And we're going to pay for it. You know, and if you're sick, go there. We'll pay for it. If you have to stay home and you're missing work, we'll pay your mortgage. We'll send you a check. Boy, this guy's got deep pockets.
He does indeed, and he doesn't care where the payments come from. Anyway, Angelo, thank you, my friend. Talk to you next Monday.
Thank you. Always a pleasure.
All right. All right, we're going to take our final break. Come back. We got a top 10. You think that the coronavirus is bad? Wait till you hear about the deadliest epidemics of all time.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
Are you looking for some great restaurants? For some great wines? Where are the great chefs? Listen to Dine Out Radio, heard every Wednesday on the Tantalk Radio Network. 12 to 1 p.m., we'll tell you where all the great events are. We'll have Food & Wine Magazine and Bon Appetit Magazine. We'll have their editors and writers on each month. And maybe we'll throw in a couple surprises. Check out the website, diningoutradio.com. My bridge is all...
Hey everybody, this is Pastor Marcia McAllister from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We want you to join us on Sunday afternoons at 3 o'clock on this radio station for our two-hour show, talking to you about the Word of God, giving you great contemporary music, some lively chat, and just some food for thought. You'll be encouraged to know how very much God loves you and how He has a plan for your life. Join us this coming Sunday at 3 o'clock on Living the Good Life.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back for the final section and session of Freedom Works. And before we get to our top 10, I wanted to say that the federal government set records for both the amount of taxes it collected and the amount of money it spent in the first 5 months of 2020. That's October through February. According to data, the government spent $1.99 trillion, $1.99 trillion between October and February. You know what it collected? $1.37 trillion. So do your math and you realize we're spending more money, much more money than we're taking in. Thus, while running up records in taxing and spending, the feds also ran this deficit, which was about $625 billion. So somehow we can't spend it quickly enough. We just continue to spend more than we take in. That's kind of scary. All right, it is time for the top 10 deadliest epidemics of all time. Ed, please get over to the drums. This comes from moneycontrol.com. And just up front, because some of these things occurred a long, long time ago, they don't have exact counts. So we're going to just kind of do our best.
Well, you can vouch for him, I'm sure.
I knew that was coming. I knew you were going to make some cheap remark. All right, here we go. Number 10. Leprosy. Now, this was in the 11th century that it hit its peak. But, I mean, you read about it even around, biblical times. These are skin lesions, etc. And nobody has an exact count in the 11th century. But let's just say that thousands of people were infected, maybe hundreds of thousands. Number 9, the 1957 Asian flu. Fever, body aches, chills. It estimated to have killed 1 to 2 million people. All right, number eight. The Great Plague of London. And this is in 1665. It was like stomach virus, abdominal pain, diarrhea, nausea, vomiting. It was basically a bubonic plague, which is normally carried by rats, and it led to the death of 20% of London's population. Okay, number seven. The plague in Athens, 430 BC. Two-thirds of the population of Athens died. Number six. We go to 165 AD. You were just a kid at Antonine Plague. Historians estimated that this fever, sore throat, diarrhea plague killed an estimated 5 million people. Okay, number five. I got to be careful with the name on this one. The Kokolitsli epidemic, 1545. Similar to the Ebola virus, you get vertigo, fever, head and abdominal pains. Estimated death toll, 15 million people. 15. Number four. HIV/AIDS, 1980. We all know about that. Basically transmitted by sharing of needles and gay sex. It estimated to have killed around 35 million people. Wow. Mm. Wow. Number three. The plague of Justinian, 541 AD. Headache, chills, tender lymph nodes. It killed about 50 million people, 26% of the world's population. Mm. Okay, number two. The Great Flu of 1918. This occurred during World War I, by the way. Fever, dry cough, fatigue, difficulty in breathing. It infected 500 million people around the world. It killed over 50 million people. And they don't talk very much about that thing during World War I. It killed a lot more than World War I.
Wow.
Okay, here we go. What do you think, Ed? What do you think was the number one deadliest epidemic of all time?
I'll go with SARS, maybe. I don't know.
Okay. Roll the drum. That's an unfair question. I would have had no idea myself. The Black Death. The Black Death, circa 1350. Black boils, fever, chills, vomiting, diarrhea, ache, and pain. It was a bubonic plague that struck Europe and Asia. It was thought to be carried by fleas. It killed one-third of the entire world's population at that time in 1350. One-third. That's kind of scary. I mean, wow.
Well, it's nice to know that the coronavirus, that over 50% of the people that have had it are already recovering
from
it.
They are.
So
well over 50%.
They don't bring you that, though.
No.
They don't tell you that.
No, you're right, exactly right. I mean, you got to exercise. You wash your hands. And like you say, you're not going to go shaking hands all over the place these days. But if you wash your hands, keep your distance, you're not going to get it.
No.
That's all there is to it.
Common sense.
Common sense. You're right. Thank you so much, my friends. We will be back tomorrow, Tuesday. And always remember, freedom works.
WTAN, Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City.
FM 102.3.
WZHR, Zephyr Hill.